from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are glad that you are hanging out with us here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. This is where we've been. As Mike said, our residency continues, and we'll be back here next week, Monday, and then I think 3 days the following week.
Okay.
We'll keep you up to date. I'll tell you what we're up to date on, Mike. How about them Braves?
Yeah, man, taking 2 out of 3 from a team that, you know, we spent so much time talking about the Phillies. Brewers, one of the best teams in the bigs. You just went up to Milwaukee and took 2 out of 3. You know, this is a big win for this team, and I think sometimes even if the player is a little underwhelming to some folks outside Atlanta, getting Soler and making a move at the deadline, maybe if it energizes, whatever, team looked great today, man. And
there's really nothing you can do but handle it.
Handle it. Yeah. Well, one thing we have not seen this year is Travis d'Arnaud. It was Matt Olson and then Travis d'Arnaud going back-to-back home runs twice in this game.
Yeah, it's what we've missed. We've missed multiple home run games. We've missed Olson doing this frequently. He's done a lot less this season. Right. Mike, we've said this, and I will stick with this, guys. If this team's going to do something special, it's not going to be because Soler all of a sudden came in here. Yeah, we need his bat. It's going to be because Matt Olson lives up to his potential and starts to do these kinds of things. That's why if they're going to make a run, Mike, it's going to be because of this.
Matt Olson has got a hit, you know. And look, Sean Murphy, we've been down on him. He batting 217 for the month of July. He did go bat 300 in this series with an RBI, but Little D, man, Little D's just got some clutch to him. And I think we've seen this before. We've seen this in runs to the playoffs where Travis d'Arnaud gets on a heater, and sometimes you think, let's just roll with it. Roll with a hot hand.
6-2, Braves win. More on this coming up with Grant McCauley. Let's talk about what's going on with the Falcons. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. A few things we learned today as we heard from a variety of folks, including Jimmy Lake. He is our defensive coordinator, guys. And he was asked about Mike Hughes getting first-team reps.
What up with that?
Well, there is a battle, right, for the opposite corner of A.J. Terrell. It is Hughes and it's Clark Phillips as of right now. This is what Jimmy Lake said about Mike Hughes.
Nothing motivated that. I would just say, you know, Mike's a really good player for us. He's played really good football in his career. And he's a guy that can do multiple things for us. He can play inside. He can play outside. He had a really good spring. And so he's earned the right to have to have more reps and play with those guys.
He's 27 years of age. He's got three interceptions, I should say, Carl, in his career.
Yeah.
But that's kind of indicative of our cornerback room.
It is.
There are no turnovers. I mean, we talked about A.J. Terrell still waiting to see when he gets his contract extension. But for what it's worth, this is a guy who came on board last year. He did play in 15 games for the Falcons after the previous year with Detroit. So they see something they like about Hughes.
They do. Meanwhile, though, Clark Phillips is making plays, Mike, in practice. He's got another pick today.
I mean,
we heard from Joe Patrick. He's making these kinds of plays where you go, all right, this is what made us notice Clark Phillips last year. For people who weren't familiar with him out of Utah, you were like, this dude here, he's making another play.
Getting in the mix, taking on the biggest players. You know, of course, him, the Pac-12 battle with Drake London last year. He played his college ball at Utah. That's what, as you said, first got us noticing Clark Phillips.
Clark, this is Jimmy Lake talking about his development. Clark Hughes.
Really started back in the offseason, way back. He had an excellent offseason, came in. I was ready to learn outside and also learn inside, and I've seen a ton of growth from him playing nickel for us, and he's also made a lot of big-time plays outside for us as well, and he's on the right track. There's always room for improvement, but I really like where Clark is at right now.
So, Mike, they're not going to go outside of these guys, are they? It doesn't feel that way.
Not yet. Unless in preseason, if there's some big stumbles and fumbles and bumbles, or in those controlled scrimmages, we're going to be down in Miami taking on the Dolphins. If these guys, look, how about a test for your corners? We've been talking all month about the quarterback room. You're going up against Jalen Waddle and Tariq Hill and everybody else that Miami brings to bear. I mean, that's a high-powered offense, just malfunctions at times, but that's a test, isn't it?
It is. And here's the thing. We know they're fast. But it's not about that. You can get help over the top. Can you cover these guys, you know, in a 20-yard radius, Mike? And more importantly, are we getting any pressure on Tua? Now, you know these guys are not going to be taking any quarterbacks down, but they chart all this stuff. And if I get a hand on you or I get close, they more than likely, that's a sack, and you wouldn't have been able to complete that pass. So, yes, that's going to be a big test. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 again, game. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins talking about the ankle. Everybody's wondering where he's at. How does he feel? Kirk?
Yeah, the ankle's coming. Even since the last time I spoke here, I think it's stronger, more athletic, more dynamic. So I think the thought of play football to rehab it has been a great great plan, because I think that's what I need. And I still got more to go, but I'm moving well and able to play the position. I took off today during a little two-minute period, was able to run and felt no worse for the wear, felt like I was still moving well. So I think I might have given Coach Rob a bit of a heart attack, but I felt good, so he can rest assured knowing that. You know, it's different getting hit, you know, and I got a red jersey on right now. So when we get hit, you know, you got to be strong enough to be able to really stand underneath the weight of not just you, but of a D lineman. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to get. And then the timing, you know, I think it is a work in progress. I think when you put the pads on and you got Grady Jarrett pass rushing and you've got some other variables, you know, it's not the style that it is in OTAs when you're out there just in shorts and a T-shirt and less of a rush. So we've got to get everything really dialed in, and we just have to keep stacking the days to be able to do that.
You know, you and I were talking yesterday before you took ill at practice about how the ball comes out. And I said this yesterday on the air with Chris Carl, and I'm not trying to stoke a controversy. I'm just saying what I saw. Because of the Achilles, it's not coming out as fast as it is from the other quarterbacks. That's not a knock, and I'm sure it will get there. But right now, Kirk Cousins' ball looks like Matt Ryan's ball the last couple of years. I presume that's going to get better. But, I mean, one thing with Penix, we can all agree, that thing comes out.
It does.
It's moving.
It does. And it is one of those things where it is blatantly obvious. Even if he overthrows somebody, Mike, you're like, oh, wow, he's got some zip on there. That is good to hear, though, from Kirk Cousins. And, again, we don't expect him to be completely 100%. He's got time. But he's got to be working towards it, Mike. And once we get to that last preseason game, I think they'll have like 2 weeks off before we play, you know, our first game on Sunday against the Steelers. In early September, I need him to be like, yes, I am. I'm 100%, and everything is good. That's where we need to be. Let's hear from Terry Fontenot, guys, because a guy showed up at practice, and well, all of us reporters were like, "What's going on? Why is Steve Wilks here?" Steve Wilks has had a really good career in the National Football League. He was the DC for the 49ers. Right. He was the interim head coach for Carolina. Comes from a defensive background, and so you were kind of like, "Okay, what's the deal? Is he helping the Falcons out?" Terry Fontenot was asked that question today.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's been here the last 2 days, just kind of going around, and we love Steve Wilks, really respect him. We actually interviewed him, and so that's exactly what that is. You know, when you're not, you don't have a job, to be able to come and look at it from a bubble, it's funny. I was teasing him during practice because it's hard when you're back there and you see you want to jump on the field and coach when you're a coach. You know, that's what he does, and so it's probably hard for him not to be getting his hands dirty out there, but just have a lot of respect for him, and Raheem's great about that, opening his door to coaches.
Now, Carl and I were just saying, from a philosophical standpoint about your defense, how many years we'd have guys would call in our show and go, we're getting picked apart in that zone defense. I mean, it just, no, just a zone defense without pass rusher, I think, just does look awful, right? How many years we'd like, I'd rather see us blitz and be more, like, I guess you got to find a happy medium, Carl. You can't go Buddy Ryan, but still, I'd rather see us, at least if we're going to give up some big plays, let's do it, being aggressive and trying to blitz, as opposed to guys that are out there in a zone coverage, and all of a sudden now they got to sit and cover guys for 6 seconds because there's no edge rush.
I agree. And I'm curious to see the balance of what's going to happen. We may not know, like, the first week or two, but, Mike, as the season plays out, you're going to get a sense. Like, again, last year, Brian Flores, Minnesota Vikings, they blitzed more than anybody in the league. Percentage-wise, they were blitzing. They came here with Dobbs, and they blitzed us. So, are you going to be that, or are you going to be somewhere in between, or are you going to be cover three, which is what we're familiar with Dan right. Quinn, and sit back and, oh, we're not blitzing, and we're just going to let them catch everything in front of us, and we got to be good tackle.
Again, and that was the old business model. You're right. So I just think, look, I get it. I think all fans prefer aggressive play on both sides of the football. You know, now you can't, as we said, you can't do it all the time, but you got to be able to get the quarterback on the ground especially. And by the way, I just went back and looked at the list. All these guys are out there. Xavien Howard, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore.
Still there.
Patrick Peterson. I would imagine some of these cats are going to get a phone call at some point for some teams. Again, maybe it's going to take an injury for one of these guys, but they're all good.
They're
better than what we got opposite AJ.
Mike, one last thing, and coming up, you'll hear a full interview with Andy and Randy as they had a chance to talk with Terry Fontenot today, our general manager. Jimmy Lake, our defensive coordinator, was talking about the pass rush. Where is it? You've been asking.
Right.
How's it coming along?
How?
Here's how he answered it.
It's going to develop as the season goes. But really, for me, pass rush is all 11. It's all 11. We have to be able to play really tight coverage for that quarterback to hold it an extra tick, for the pass rush to hit home. But when we're rushing the passer, it may not just be the four down rushers. It may not just be the outside linebackers. This could be a corner. This could be a nickel. It could be Jesse Bates coming from 15 yards deep rolling off the edge. It's going to be all of our rushers. And then when those guys are rushing, whoever's dropping in coverage, we got to be able to make sure we're dropping in the right spots, covering up the right spots, cause some confusion for that quarterback, cause some confusion for pass protection, and that's how our pass rush will really start to heat up.
Okay. There you go. You just broke it down. They're not going to give you all the secret sauce here in the second week of camp. But, look, fans just can't wait to see what we're going to be all about. But you're not going to really see that in the preseason game on TV. You will maybe see some of the things they're going to do in that scrimmage if you're lucky enough to sneak in and see it.
True enough. We need to see it come together, though. He's right. It is all 11. But I'm always under the impression if you get guys up front that do their job, it makes your back half a lot easier.
Man, we're going to see the Steelers come in here, and they get after it. The Steelers, we know what they're bringing to the table, man. Hayward, and Watt are going to – that's a big battle. And we'll talk about it later in the hour, but, man, there's some – or maybe the six. We'll get into some of the things going on at Steelers camp. We may see someone else at quarterback.
No doubt. All right, coming up, you'll hear Terry Fontenot. How does he view the quarterback situation? What's going on with our team right now? First time the general manager has spoken since the start of camp. You'll hear it and what he had to say on Andy and Randy coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Mike and I were talking about the Braves winning today. Mike, what did you just tell me about the Braves behind the Phillies now?
Hey, man, just 6.5 games back. The Phillies just got swept by the Yankees, have lost 4 in a row. They've got a travel day, and they'll be back. They're in Seattle. Now, I know Seattle's not a juggernaut, but they are in first place. And we get the Marlins, who just fire-sold the entire roster. So if ever there's a time to continue that and make some hay, I'm sure there's some tight sphincters on our sister station up in Philadelphia this afternoon.
Well, they've been talking a lot of noise all season long about how they were running away with this division. More on that coming up with Grant McCauley. Let's hear from our general manager, Terry Fontenot, who stopped by Andy and Randy today. First thing they asked him is, how can you determine whether camp is going well or not?
Yeah, I would say when you're watching practice and you want it to be competitive, and, it's a really good question, because when you look at if sometimes the defense has a good day and sometimes offense has a good day, and if a receiver makes a great play on the ball, okay, a cornerback got beaten, vice versa, because you're competing with your home team. So what you really want to see is competitive play. And you want to see that from your team. And then it is cool to go to inter-squad practices, because then you get to really measure your team against someone else. Obviously, we'll be in Miami next week, and you get to see them against a really good team and see how they're competing there. So I think as a GM, what you really want to just see is, is guys out there competing and just continued growth.
How has Kyle looked to you? I mean, from what you're reading, he is just mossing people. And I was out there the other day and saw some red zone snaps and everything. Terry, how has he looked so far during this camp?
He looks really good. He's and look, it's all about, y'all know it, it's all about relationships. And I'll tell you what, in a short offseason, these coaches have done a really good job, from Raheem to Zach to Koger. They've built a really strong relationship where there's already real trust throughout the whole roster, but they're really close with Kyle, and to where they can coach him hard and coach him the right way. And I know he's working on all the aspects of the blocking, working on everything, but he's done some really good things. Mm-hmm. He's flying around and playing with a lot of confidence, which you really love to see. So I would say it's says a lot about the coaching staff and says a lot about him, but he's had a really good camp thus far.
It's definitely partially about health too, right? Yeah. Like obviously him coming back off of what he had dealt with a couple of years ago. We talked to him the other day. He said he feels 100%, which is great. What about some of the other guys that are coming back from what they've dealt with? Obviously Kirk Cousins with his Achilles, yep. Grady Jarrett with what he dealt with. Can we get sort of a health update on some of these guys?
Yeah. First of all, that was a great point with Kyle. Like you said, I mean, he's completely healthy, and so that's significant, and you really see that. But yes, like with you look at Kirk Cousins, and Kirk, he had a good offseason and did a lot during the offseason, and he's full go, and he's out there going, and he looks really good. So we're excited about where Kirk is, and same with Grady. It's great to see Grady mm-hmm. flying around with where he is. So we always have to have plans for not just for Grady and Kirk coming off injuries, but also there's going to be some times you see some off days with some of the veteran players, whether they're coming off an injury or not. So we have to make sure that we manage that the right way and with our performance team and make sure we're managing reps the right way. But in terms of injuries, I'm knocking on wood, but we're in a great place in terms of the way the guys have went through the offseason and where we are now. It's been really good.
Where has the biggest, and Andy, we're talking about this, where's been the biggest improvement so far outside the quarterback room? Because, that goes without saying. But if you can go right now, and again, it's so early in training camp, you still got many more practices, like you said, joint practices, preseason. But right now, as it sits, what's been one of the more impressive rooms, in your opinion, right now so far?
Yeah, so like you said, you take the quarterback out of it, and then I will go right to the front line of scrimmage. And when you say improvement, I can't say improvement because it's our same offensive lineman, but I would say I love our offensive line and I love what they are, and that permeates your whole team. Your offensive line and who they are, and you guys know that, they mm-hmm. set that tone for your whole team. So, and I put our offensive line against anyone. We're very excited about them. But then you go to the other side, and you want to win up front. You want to win the line of scrimmage, but you look at our defensive line, and we knew we had David and Grady, and obviously Grady was out for most of the year, and then with David. But now outside of those, we added a lot to that room. And so you have obviously Zach coming back, TQ coming back, those young players that are really developing, doing some good things. But then you got Rook and Brandon Dorlis and Big Eddie, and you got so many guys that when you look at that defensive line, we got some big, physical, powerful dudes. So I would say you just look right up front and look at our O-line and D-line and know that we're going to be able to really battle in the trenches.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot spending some time with us here on the midday show with Andy and Randy. And you mentioned it, the offensive line can very often set the tone for the team. Raheem, when speaking with the media last week, said, "I don't have any like slogans or anything for this group. We're going to let it develop organically." But if the offensive line is setting the tone, what do you want that tone to be? Like, what identity, I guess, but like what do you want the tone of this group to be as the season nears?
Yeah, like Raheem said, we'll let that develop, but you already see that we have a really our guys compete in every single thing they do. They compete, and it starts with the leadership. It starts with the Grady Jarretts and the Jesse Bates and the A.J. Terrells and the Kirk Cousins. Every play is like Kirk. If you watch Kirk and his demeanor on every single play, whether it's a team period, a two-minute period, or it's in one-on-one, he's the way, the passion that he plays with and the competitiveness. So I would say there is a real competitive nature from our entire group, the way we compete in everything we do. So like you said, the teams, we'll set that, hey, what this team's going to be about, and we're still in the early stages, but I know we're going to have a very, very competitive team.
Terry, usually, all the time, whenever you go from the spring to the summer, you want things that you learned in the spring to carry over to the summer. How has Michael Penix's development been from the spring to the summer, and is he like kind of got a stronghold on that number two spot? Because you saw him doing a lot of that yesterday when I was out there.
That part has been really impressive, really, and I think Zach might have even said it in a presser, or if not, we talked about it, but it is really impressive overall with the entire team of the carryover, because you know how it is. Sometimes you'll get into it, Randy, and you'll have you'll go from you got your installs during the off season, and then you get back and you start over, right? And you start back to install one for training camp day one, and you start to build it back up. But we didn't do that. We just kept rolling.
Wow.
And I think it says a lot about our team, top to bottom, what we have and the work that guys put in during the offseason, but the way we're really able to hit the ground running. So they put a lot on all those guys, including obviously including Penix. And he's done some really good things. But like we couldn't be more excited about that position, because everything we've seen with Kirk and how excited we are about Kirk and what he's done, we're excited about right now, and we're really excited about the future. You look at the physical tools and the way that Mike's moving around and throwing the ball and all those things, and he's a sponge. He's got the right demeanor because, again, you've been around certain guys that have a little arrogance to them, and because they had some success in college, they think like they know, so you got to – it takes them a little time to humble themselves, to really learn. And but he just has a natural – despite all the things that he did coming out, he has a natural humility to him, and he's always trying to learn. And so he's attacked that the right way. And you can learn from everybody in the building. Our guys do a really good job of that, from the offensive players, defensive players, everyone. So I would say overall, our guys have done a really good job carrying over things to the offseason. And I would say the same about Michael Penix.
Terry, we asked you about the selection of Penix and the signing of Cousins after the draft, about sort of, was it a philosophical switch? And you said, no, it was more of an opportunistic switch. Like, we had the chance to sign this guy and draft this guy, so we did it. I wonder, though, just sort of looking at the trends in the league and how much time quarterbacks have missed of late and all of that, like, is it more important than ever to have that second guy, and even a third guy, honestly, with the rule change and everything, to have that depth in that quarterback room?
Well, it's obviously, I mean, it's the most important position in my opinion, all of sports, so it's critical. But I would say, with us, significantly, when you can have two high-impact players, but you know we have our quarterback right now with Kirk, and we have our quarterback of the future. So with us, it's not like we would go sign two quarterbacks that are the same age in free agency, you know. So it is, with us specifically, it's about, man, with Kirk and what we're going to get from him right now, and how excited we are about him and how excited we are about our team. And we know look, you can't deny, when you see Kirk and the way he approaches every day, the way he takes care of his body, the way everything that he does, it's really impressive. And also how intentional he is about helping his teammates, about building people. You see why he's been so successful previously in his career, and you know why he's going to be so successful for us. So that's about – that's specifically, it's separate. That's why we signed Kirk. That's why we're so excited. And, again, with Michael Penix, he is here to develop and be prepared. Whenever that point is, we know he's going to be ready to roll. So I would say it's more so about us looking at now and looking at the future.
Last one for me, Terry. And one of my favorite things I know about camp was – that undrafted free agent guy that was going to make the team that you just saw progressing and everything. I don't want you to say his name, because if he listened, he might get the big head. But are you seeing some of that for some of these guys? That it's a possibility. Like, you're like, I know we got this guy here. Now, he might be a vet, but this young man right here has proven to me so far that he might have an opportunity to make this team.
Yeah, there's already been a little bit of that. And this is when, Randy, you can really start to assess it, because you know how it is. There's always a transition when you go from shorts to pads,
right?
And there's always some guys that really show up whenever you're wearing shorts, and you're like, and there's some guys that you're like, he's not looking that good. And then it completely shifts when the pads come on. All of a sudden, this guy that was flying around and making plays, he's not, you're not noticing him. And this dude that wasn't doing as much, he's thumping, you know. So I think there have been some guys that have stuck out, but I think the more, again, we've had 2 days of pads, I haven't watched this practice on film yet. I'm excited to watch it, because it got pretty competitive. But then also when we go up, like I said, when we go to Miami, and when you go there and you get to see guys compete against other people, I think that's when you really see the cream continue to rise. So I said, as you get into those dog days of camp, we'll start to see a little bit more separation in those areas.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot, nice enough to spend some time with us here during training camp. Final one for me as well. And again, thanks for the time, Terry, as always. You've mentioned it a couple times, the joint practices with Miami. You've been the Falcons GM for 4 years now. You've been in front offices for a while. You've sort of seen the shift from maybe what preseason's value was to now what joint practice value is. Why do you think that that's taken place? Like, why do you think it almost to me feels like more value is placed on those practices than preseason games?
Yeah, well, you do want to see your team in that competitive environment against other people. But I would say with the joint practices, it's more of a, you can simulate the game situation, but it's a more controlled environment, right, if that makes sense. So with the preseason, there's things that you can't control and you don't, but with those games, you can go out and you can play your ones more. You can play all your guys for as many reps as you want, and you can tell, you're telling when you have, especially a team like Miami, we have great relationships with that staff, and so Raheem can tell Mike, okay, hey, this is what I want to see. I want to see this, and this.
Right.
And we know that we want to see this particular corner against some speed, or we want to see this particular guy against this, and they can really work together, and you can do that. So you can really create that, those game-type situations in a controlled environment. And then as you talk about the preseason games, you just have to really assess it. There's sometimes you want to see, it's really a case-by-case. Some guys you want to see out there, some guys you don't. Sometimes I've been in situations where sometimes it depends on what we get out of the practices. When you practice with a team for 2 days, okay, hey, we've got enough from these groups. We don't want to see them. We want to see this, you know. But I would say when you get with a good group, and you can really simulate those game situations, but you're doing it in a controlled way.
Terry, appreciate it.
Appreciate you so much, Terry, as always, brother.
I always appreciate y'all, guys, anytime.
There it is, man. Our general manager, Terry Fontenot, talking about what he's seen so far. And we talked about good days for the offense, good days for the defense, and now will the plan come together, Carl, this fall?
I hope so. Listen, we said this to start the show, and this is not a knock on Terry Fontenot. It's just what it is right now. I don't know if anybody can say he's a successful general manager. He has been here. He's had four drafts now since 21, 22, 23. This is the fourth. We need to win this year.
This is go time. As you like to say, Dukesism. It's nut cutting time. It's time to go, baby. It's time to win 12 games.
And, you know, for everybody, I think he's a good general manager. I think he's done some really good things, but it hasn't paid off with the results.
Right.
So it's a big year for him. It's a big year for our team, man. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley. Braves win today, and they did something they haven't done since 1998.
Woo!
Find out what we're talking about next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley, where has this Matt Olson been? Let's talk about the Braves and their victory today against the Brewers, which was a series win as well. Where's this guy been?
I mean, everybody's been looking for him, but I don't think anybody's been looking any harder for this than Matt Olson has. So great to see it. You kind of needed to see it. They did a little home run history today with he and Travis d'Arnaud going back-to-back twice in the same game. We haven't seen that Braves club a whole lot, and in fact, in Braves history, that's only happened three times. So some pretty incredible stuff going on, and great to see Matt Olson in the middle of it. And as we've talked about time and again, no matter what you went out and got at the trade deadline, and even if you got a couple of bats going, you needed Matt Olson to start flexing his muscle, making his presence known in the middle of that Braves lineup. And we may finally be seeing that because this road trip had quite a few encouraging moments for him.
Yeah, last time we had those back-to-back jacks by the same two players. You mentioned it was a 98, Javi Lopez and Andrew Jones. Man, that's just amazing. Hey, the pitching, you know, it was not like Sale had his best stuff, but he found a way to grind it against a really good-hitting Brewers team. I thought, you know, last night, and again, we can go round and round about, you know, the pitching's there. I mean, if Fried can show out this weekend against the Marlins and show that he's back to being 100%, all of a sudden, if I'm up in Philadelphia, Grant, I think I'm getting a little tight around the collar. 6.5 back, they got to go play Seattle on the road.
Yeah, and things have been a little bit tough for the Phillies here lately, too. And we knew at some point they were going to run into that part of their schedule where some things weren't going to go their way. As good as that team is, and this is not me explaining to you how they were all propped up and the house of cards is going to come down. I don't think that it is. I think that they're much better than that. But the 162 has a lot of peaks and valleys for every team. It's just kind of felt like the Braves have been wandering through that valley a lot more than Philadelphia has. But you know, with respect to that, the Mariners are a tough pitching club. They're a team that can certainly give an offense fits, but has Seattle done enough again in its lineup to really put the hurting on the Philadelphia Phillies in the series? We'll find all of that out. But, yeah, this is a good time for the Braves to take 4 out of 5. You kind of have to wonder in some ways, and I know it doesn't work this way, but what if the Braves had just been able to split those 6 games rather than losing 6 in a row last week? What would the division look like then? Now you have the Marlins rolling into town who just got done selling off a lot of their parts. What is this weekend going to look like for Atlanta? You hope it's going to be a series win. You kind of get greedy. You want that series sweep against a club like that. And then you're going to have the Philadelphia Phillies in the not-too-distant future for a head-to-head matchup. Things could get interesting. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But these were the signs, the encouraging things that you needed to see from the Braves, if nothing else, in a vacuum, to feel like they're heading in the right direction.
Soler didn't get a hit today. He did draw a walk. It's something that Snit talked about, Grant. Talk about this a little bit. His patience at the plate is why they love him in the leadoff spot, right?
Yeah, and Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday, I mean, we obviously know the power that Jorge Soler has, and that's going to be his calling card, his carrying trade, if you will. But he has shown a good ability this year to work counts and to get on base. And that's why he ended up back at the top of the order as one of the most unorthodox leadoff hitters that you'll find, because he's not a stolen base threat. That's not really a thing he does. But he puts immediate pressure on the opposing pitcher, because if you make a mistake, it could go 450 feet or further, depending on how far that one in the World Series went. Or he could draw a walk and just start to energize the rest of the lineup. And the Braves have needed somebody up there to do that kind of thing. It has been a struggle and a half since Ronald Acuna Jr. went down. There's no replacing Ronald, but finding what I would regard as maybe the next best thing is something that could mean a lot to this Braves club. And an on-base guy at the top of the order, a consistent one, was certainly something they needed to get at the trade deadline, and it looks like they've done that.
I know that Sean Murphy is Grant. McCauley joins us, guys, in the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Murph, I think, was 3 for 9 the last 3 games. But Darnold, I know Darnold can kind of be streaky, sneaky good. I'd love to keep little D in there for a while. I mean, what's your take on Murph? Is Murph coming out of it, or is this just another one of these bad patches?
No, I think there's been some encouraging stuff from him, too. I mean, hitting the ball hard is what you really needed to see, and Sean Murphy does that really consistently. And the same can be said for Matt Olson. I mean, there's a batted ball component in there that hasn't been on their side as far as luck is concerned, but the strikeouts have crept in at times. And, you know, obviously, Olson and Murphy, there's different expectations for each of these guys, but they're big parts of what the Braves are doing when things are going right. But I'm kind of with you, Mike, where a lot of folks will look and say, okay, well, why do you bring Sean Murphy over here if you're going to keep putting Travis d'Arnaud in and ceding playing time away? But how many teams across baseball would love to have a catcher like Sean Murphy and a second catcher, if you want to call him that, because I'm not going to call him a backup, but a second catcher like Travis d'Arnaud? I mean, this is the situation that most teams would love to find themselves in. And Travis d'Arnaud can deliver. He can do things like he did today. He went on that home run binge earlier this season. He's just too productive of a player and valuable of a player to relegate him to catching once or twice a week.
It is Grant McCauley, guys. We talk about the Braves. All right, real quick, you said it. Marlins come in here. Don't want to be too cocky, but I think you can kind of, get into, all right, this is what the lineup's going to look like moving forward, maybe allowing guys to be a little bit more comfortable. What's the rotation look like? Do we know at this point, Grant, who and when? Saturday, Sunday?
They're still kind of doing the day-to-day as far as the Max Fried and the Ronaldo Lopez component of it. We will see Spencer Schwellenbach in this series, though. That's a plus. Charlie Morton's going to get the ball in this series. If you can throw those four and the Braves offense kind of wakes up and they've hit better at Truist Park, they've played better at home. That's been one of the other struggles for the Braves, has been their record on the road. But going home against a favorable opponent with potentially four of your top starters there, Chris Sale taking care of his business here in the finale against the Brewers, things could kind of line up. And I will say, and I know we talked about it some yesterday, the encouragement that the Braves had to have felt with the news on both Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez to not feel the pressure to go out and get another starting pitcher, that would feel like to me to be an indicator that even if these guys don't throw this weekend, they've got to be close.
And I know we always ask about Ian Anderson. How many more starts is he going to have in the minors where you really think about Ian Anderson maybe being up here?
I think that as the Braves do this whole bridge to get the extra days for Lopez and for Chris Sale, kind of, I think, as a secondary pursuit at this point, it really for Lopez feels like it's more of a necessity. You could see Ian Anderson getting in that mix. I think A.J. Smith-Schaumburg could be in that mix as well. Now that they've been able to clear the five-inning hurdle, the 80-pitch count in Gwinnett, it's really just when the Braves feel like they're best set up. I think Ian's velocity has been kind of low 90s with the fastball. It's touching 94, which is about where he was pre-surgery, so that's a good thing to see. And you know, he's just got to get the curveball or the breaking ball, I think, a little bit more rounded out. So it's knocking the rust off. It's getting the reps back. I think the changeup is always going to be a weapon for him. It's one of the best out pitches in the Braves system. If he gets himself comfortable and the Braves see some good results down there in Gwinnett, it really, any time is kind of the answer to the Ian Anderson question. Whenever they feel like they can set him up for success and they need somebody to come up and cover some innings.
Great stuff, Grant. Good job. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Braves win. Braves win.
And again, as we mentioned, the Yankees is beating up on the Phillies. Thank you, Yankees. Chris brought up the fact that Bryce Harper, man, 1-for-30. So, you know, again, you were not going to be the 27 Yankees all season long.
No.
I mean, if you're a Philly fan, that ain't happening.
Stretches. Stretches. And maybe this is the stretch where something good happens for us, because a whole lot has not. All right, Mike, when we come back, I asked Mike a question in the break. And then I had to ask myself, why did I even bring this up?
All right, so now all of a sudden, whenever we mention the wide receivers, I've got to say, hello, Darnell.
Find out what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Grant McCauley, where has this Matt Olson been? Let's talk about the Braves and their victory today against the Brewers, which was a series win as well. Where's this guy been?
I mean, everybody's been looking for him, but I don't think anybody's been looking any harder for this than Matt Olson has. So great to see it. You kind of needed to see it. They did a little home run history today with he and Travis d'Arnaud going back-to-back twice in the same game. We haven't seen that Braves club a whole lot, and in fact, in Braves history, that's only happened three times. So some pretty incredible stuff going on, and great to see Matt Olson in the middle of it. And as we've talked about time and again, no matter what you went out and got at the trade deadline, and even if you got a couple of bats going, you needed Matt Olson to start flexing his muscle, making his presence known in the middle of that Braves lineup. And we may finally be seeing that, because this road trip had quite a few encouraging moments for him.
Yeah, last time we had those back-to-back jacks by the same two players, you mentioned it was a 98, Javi Lopez and Andrew Jones, man, that's just amazing. Hey, the pitching, you know, it was not like Sale had his best stuff, but he found a way to grind it against a really good hitting Brewers team. I thought, last night, and again, we can go round and round about, you know, the pitching's there. I mean, if Fried can show out this weekend against the Marlins and show that he's back to being 100%, all of a sudden, if I'm up in Philadelphia, Grant, I think I'm getting a little tight around the collar. 6.5 back, they got to go play Seattle on the road.
Yeah, and things have been a little bit tough for the Phillies here lately, too. And we knew at some point they were going to run into that part of their schedule where some things weren't going to go their way. As good as that team is, and this is not me explaining to you how they were all propped up and the house of cards is going to come down. I don't think that it is. I think that they're much better than that. But the 162 has a lot of peaks and valleys for every team. It just kind of felt like the Braves have been wandering through that valley a lot more than Philadelphia has. But you know, with respect to that, the Mariners are a tough pitching club. They're a team that can certainly give an offense fits, but has Seattle done enough again in its lineup to really put the hurting on the Philadelphia Phillies in the series? We'll find all of that out. But, yeah, this is a good time for the Braves to take 4 out of 5. You kind of have to wonder in some ways, and I know it doesn't work this way, but what if the Braves had just been able to split those 6 games rather than losing 6 in a row last week? What would the division look like then? Now you have the Marlins rolling into town who just got done selling off a lot of their parts. What is this weekend going to look like for Atlanta? You hope it's going to be a series win. You kind of get greedy. You want that series sweep against a club like that. And then you're going to have the Philadelphia Phillies in the not-too-distant future for a head-to-head matchup. Things could get interesting. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But these were the signs, the encouraging things that you needed to see from the Braves, if nothing else, in a vacuum, to feel like they're heading in the right direction.
Soler didn't get a hit today. He did draw a walk. It's something that Snit talked about, Grant. Talk about this a little bit. His patience at the plate is why they love him in the leadoff spot, right?
Yeah, and Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday, I mean, we obviously know the power that Jorge Soler has, and that's going to be his calling card, I mean, his carrying trade, if you will. But he has shown a good ability this year to work counts and to get on base, and that's why he ended up back at the top of the order as one of, I would say, one of the most unorthodox leadoff hitters that you'll find, because he's not a stolen base threat. That's not really a thing he does, but he puts immediate pressure on the opposing pitcher, because if you make a mistake, it could go 450 feet or further, depending on how far that one in the World Series went, or he could draw a walk and just start to energize the rest of the lineup. And the Braves have needed somebody up there to do that kind of thing. It has been a struggle and a half since Ronald Acuña Jr. went down. There's no replacing Ronald, but finding what I would regard as maybe the next best thing is something that could mean a lot to this Braves club. And an on-base guy at the top of the order, a consistent one, was certainly something they needed to get at the trade deadline, and it looks like they've done that.
I know that Sean Murphy is Grant. McCauley joins us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Mall of Georgia Hooters. Murph, I think, was 3-for-9 the last three games. But Darnold, I know Darnold can kind of be streaky, sneaky good. I'd love to keep little D in there for a while. I mean, what's your take on Murph? Is Murph coming out of it, or is this just another one of these bad patches?
No, I think there's been some encouraging stuff from him, too. I mean, hitting the ball hard is what you really needed to see, and Sean Murphy does that really consistently. And the same can be said for Matt Olson. I mean, there's a batted ball component in there that hasn't been on their side as far as luck is concerned, but the strikeouts have crept in at times. And, you know, obviously, Olson and Murphy, there's different expectations for each of these guys, but they're big parts of what the Braves are doing when things are going right. But I'm kind of with you, Mike, where a lot of folks will look and say, okay, well, why do you bring Sean Murphy over here if you're going to keep putting Travis d'Arnaud in and ceding playing time away? But how many teams across baseball would love to have a catcher like Sean Murphy and a second catcher, if you want to call him that, because I'm not going to call him a backup, but a second catcher like Travis d'Arnaud? I mean, this is the situation that most teams would love to find themselves in. And Travis d'Arnaud can deliver. He can do things like he did today. He went on that home run binge earlier this season. He's just too productive of a player and valuable of a player to relegate him to catching once or twice a week.
It is Grant McCauley, guys. We talk about the Braves. All right, real quick, you said it. Marlins come in here. Don't want to be too cocky, but I think you can kind of, you know, get into, all right, this is what the lineup's going to look like moving forward, maybe allowing guys to be a little bit more comfortable. What's the rotation look like? Do we know at this point, Grant, who and when? Saturday, Sunday?
They're still kind of doing the day-to-day as far as the Max Fried and the Ronaldo Lopez component of it. We will see Spencer Schwellenbach in this series, though. That's a plus. Charlie Morton's going to get the ball in this series. If you can throw those four and the Braves offense kind of wakes up and they've hit better at Truist Park, they've played better at home. That's been one of the other struggles for the Braves, has been their record on the road. But going home against a favorable opponent with potentially four of your top starters there, Chris Sale taking care of his business here in the finale against the Brewers, things could kind of line up. And I will say, and I know we talked about it some yesterday, the encouragement that the Braves had to have felt with the news on both Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez to not feel the pressure to go out and get another starting pitcher, that would feel like to me to be an indicator that even if these guys don't throw this weekend, they've got to be close.
And I know we always ask about Ian Anderson. How many more starts is he going to have in the minors where you really think about Ian Anderson maybe being up here?
I think that as the Braves do this whole bridge to get the extra days for Lopez and for Chris Sale, kind of, I think, as a secondary pursuit at this point, it really for Lopez feels like it's more of a necessity. You could see Ian Anderson getting in that mix. I think A.J. Smith-Shawver could be in that mix as well. Now that they've been able to clear the five-inning hurdle, the 80-pitch count in Gwinnett, it's really just when the Braves feel like they're best set up. I think Ian's velocity has been kind of low 90s with the fastball. It's touching 94, which is about where he was pre-surgery, so that's a good thing to see. And you know, he's just got to get the curveball or the breaking ball, I think, a little bit more rounded out. So it's knocking the rust off. It's getting the reps back. I think the changeup is always going to be a weapon for him. It's one of the best out pitches in the Braves system. If he gets himself comfortable and the Braves see some good results down there in Gwinnett, it really, any time, is kind of the answer to the Ian Anderson question. Whenever they feel like they can set him up for success and they need somebody to come up and cover some innings.
Great stuff, Grant. Good job. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Braves win.
And again, as we mentioned, the Yankees is beating up on the Phillies. Thank you, Yankees. Chris brought up the fact that Bryce Harper, man, 1-for-30. So, you know, again, you were not going to be the 27 Yankees all season long.
No.
I mean, if you're a Philly fan, that ain't happening.
Stretches. And maybe this is the stretch where something good happens for us, because a whole lot has not. All right, Mike, when we come back, I asked Mike a question in the break. And then I had to ask myself, Why did I even bring this up?
All right, so now all of a sudden, whenever we mention the wide receivers, I've got to say, hello, Darnell.
Find out what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.